Good morning. I chose for a title today, All the Way. And I know that each one of you have heard probably the saying that if you're going to do something, do it all the way. And that's true. Put your whole heart and soul into it, and you have a much better chance of manifesting what you want to have when you're committed and when you're determined and when you have a will that will stake its very life on the fact of getting the thing you desire. It may not be for your highest good, so I always say, if you're going to go all the way, always say this or something better for my highest good and the highest good of all concern. It's a divine insurance policy, I think, and it leaves room for God to guide us instead of us just being self-willed and running towards something that may or may not be for our highest good. God wants to be a part of our lives, and indeed is when we recognize it. There's the part that keeps us alive, that beats our heart, puts us to sleep, does a lot of things. Medicine calls it the parasympathetic part of the nervous system, that the unconscious that runs us. So when I talk about all the way, I can say that about a goal, but I'd like to talk about it from another perspective. I was reading this week after going through some of the things that were very, very difficult in Scripture about the prodigal son. And I noticed that many New Thought teachers and ministers don't always like to talk about that because it seems to connote a sense of separation, that the son could go outside of his father's love. But I think that's a cursory reading. I'd like to revisit it for a special purpose today. I'm sure you're familiar with the story, but basically, in case you're not, or to refresh you, there is a very rich man with two sons, and one son takes his inheritance from his father early and goes into a far land with what Scripture calls engaging in riotous living, drinking, carousing, chasing women, whatever. And then has another son that stays at home and helps his father and does what's called the right thing. Now, the interesting thing about the story is that the son that stays home resents the son that took off, that said to his father, I want my inheritance now and I want to go. The father was somewhat reticent, but letting him make his own choices, he gave the inheritance and let that son go. The other son said, gee, I'm sitting here and I'm standing and working and doing all these things, and I just think I don't like it. I'm probably jealous, resentful. But the son that went off and lived riotously lost everything, ended up having spent all this money and all the treasure and all that he had from his father, ended up in a hog pen that where he was eating what the hogs ate. And he said, something inside him said, I will arise and go back to my father. And it's right there that I'd like to stop and explore something. I think we are hardwired to want a relationship with God and truth. It's not that God is far from us inside us. It's that we have trouble recognizing it when our self-will gets in the way. We know inherently that we're loved. I believe that each one of us knows that, at least from our birth, from the fact that we had caregivers and that we're here. We were cherished and loved at some point. And we certainly feel like when we talk about God that there is this force, this power that loves, will forgive, and set right. We affirm this in metaphysics. We call it truth in unity in metaphysical churches. This son decided that he was tired of eating what the pigs ate and living that way and said, I will go to my father. And he started that way. The word, and I'm paraphrasing this for interest of time, the word got to the father that this son wanted to come back. And the son said, I will work as the lowliest servant just so I can be with my father. Now the father, as Jesus tells the story, didn't say, I told him so. He made his bed, he can lie in it. I don't want to have anything to do with him. The father said, seemingly interested in the fact that this young man was wanting to come home. And the father was excited. And as the son made his way home, Scripture says that from a long way off, the father saw the son coming. He didn't just stand there like this and say, come to me and I will give you forgiveness for what you did, or a lecture for what you did, or rub your nose in what you did. He ran to his son. And not only that, he put the best coat on him and said, we're going to have a party. This is my son who was lost and now has found, and we're going to have a celebration. The one that wasn't too happy about it was the other brother, who was of a legalistic mind and probably wasn't too happy to see that son come back in the first place. It was a sort of resentment against unconditional love. But what interests me is the fact that in the story, it was not an austere God, an austere rather father that said, I'll take you back if, when, maybe. He ran to him and said, we'll kill the fatted calf and we'll have a party. This is my son who was lost and found. That kind of love is something this world doesn't always understand. It's the love that runs to us when we think we've messed up so badly that we can't fix it, that nobody's going to forgive us, and least of all, we're not going to forgive us. And if we do, we're going to need miles of therapy and maybe a lot of medication. Whatever it may be, we are holding and pulling in a great sense of guilt and fear and anxiety about a love that just shines on, that doesn't quit, that is always available, that is there with open arms. There is nothing so bad, for want of a better word, that anybody can do that they can't turn right around inside to the presence that's in them and receive the love and the support and the joy of the Father and God. This father who had a party for his son that was lost and then found said, I'm not going to ask you to feed the hogs as you said you would do when you came back, that you would be my lowly servant. I'm going to put you right back where you were in a position that's equal to where you were or greater. That's restoration. That's love. That's something that we almost can't wrap our heads around when we hear it. In metaphysics, it's pretty simple. The person that went off, the son that went off into the far land that spent his life in riotous living, his inheritance, was in error. He returned to the truth, the God principle. That is the way we explain it in our truth teachings. When we explain it on what happened on a physical level, there was a great deal of emotion attendant with that. And I'm wondering today the emotion that's attendant to us when we feel like we've blown it and need a second chance. Who's holding anything against us besides us? Now, there are people around us that can mirror our own self-image. And they're very happy sometimes to point out what you did that's wrong, because somehow, in some kind of way, when somebody points out what you do wrong, it sort of makes what they have done wrong a little more palatable to them. Judgment is that way. It's something that two people or one person can enter into that attracts two or more people because they feel fearful, they're upset, they know they've blown it, and they, in a silent, almost in an unspoken way, concur with the idea that, gee, yeah, I'm broken, I need help, I'm bowing my head, I'm not worthy to go to my Father, I'm going to agree with you that I have to do penance. All you have to do is change your mind. All you have to do is get a new conception of who you are. Nothing is held against you at all by divine love. There is no place in Christian scripture, in anything that I've read in the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, any of the sacred writings where anything is permanently held against you. There are things that you'll learn as lessons attendant to being human. For example, if you stick your hand in fire, it gets burned. If you jump off the roof, you're going to fall. These are natural laws. These aren't things from a malevolent God. But there are certain lessons that come with whatever action you take. And sometimes you think you've made the best idea, the best action, and have an idea that it was the best, and it turns out to be less than what you wanted or not really at all what you wanted. We call those lessons. It means you course correct and you walk a different way. That's the beauty of life. You get to choose again and again and again. When the son who was living is less than his best decided to get up and walk to his father, he was impelled by something that was natural. He wouldn't have thought, I want to go to my father, if father love wasn't natural. He would have said, well, I can work down here at this place, or I can go over here, they need some help here. It was natural for him to say, I want to go to my father. We all have that inherent desire to run home, to run to dad, and say, either I messed it up, or I'm kind of proud. Do you think you're proud of what I did too? We want, especially want the approval of parental figures. I know this to be true in my own life with my father. He was an all-the-way guy. He had some habits and vices that were all the way. And he didn't apologize for them. He said, I love him. I love what I do. And leave me alone. And it wasn't an ugly leave me alone. It was more like, this is my course and this is what I want to do. He was a very self-actualized, self-realized man who walked to his own beat. And he taught me that too. It was interesting because I had a mother that was way different from that. And he helped me to escape from the times that she would want to overdo it. And he was complicit with me in saying, we'll get around this. There was never a time that I felt like I couldn't run back if I made a mistake. And sometimes he looked at me and said, you'll have to live with it, make it right, or forgive yourself. But whatever you do, don't stay in it. Go all the way. And I think about anybody that's out here, any place right now that's going through difficulty or self-negation, abnegation for what you may have gone through, there's a place you can run spiritually to, a father that never quit loving you, that indeed never blamed you in the first place. If you read the story of the prodigal son, when they embraced the son and the father never said, I'm taking you back, look what you did. Have you learned your lesson? Will you do this again? There was none of that. It was welcome home. I love you. And my son that was lost is now found. You see, metaphysicians get the rap that we don't take Jesus' words literally. I do. When he said the kingdom of heaven is within you, I believe exactly he meant what he said. When he said that love is all by these stories that he told, these parables, I believe that they were indicative of the nature of God. He was there to teach us the nature of God, to the point that when the legalistic, self-righteous Pharisees and Sadducees crucified him, he said, love is going to trump hate no matter what. And if you read that, be sure that you read the second part of it with the thief on the cross next to Jesus, who didn't even know Jesus Christ and was scared and looked at a dying Jesus and said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Christ Jesus said, verily I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. No condemnation, no judgment, nothing but love. Now, does that mean that I'm saying we should just go out and do what we want to do because we're forgiven? Well, you can do that, but you're going to make a wreck of yourself when you finally come to the forgiveness that you need. It makes it harder on you. But you will be forgiven no matter what. I can't stand here and tell you that there is a God that is waiting to drop you in the precipice of hell, because that's not really what Scripture teaches. Restoration is what it teaches. New life it teaches. Walking in newness of life. So if you're going to do something and you want to do it, make sure that you do it all the way. Give of yourself. Know that this world, this life, this earth is designed for your learning. Use everything that crosses your path for your upliftment, your advancement, and your growth. Don't ever forget to have fun with it. The process of living should be fun as well as the seriousness in which we take on the goals we want to have. Some people get so blindsided, just like this, with tunnel vision, that they don't look either way and they forget to enjoy the process. You see, I think if we're not having some fun somewhere, there's something wrong. I think that there's always something that we can point to with a sense of joy, no matter what we're going through. And I say that as a man that's been through quite a lot, but I realize that I have to take from different places, no matter how small it may be, those moments of joy and fertilize them and help them grow inside me, so that when the tough times come, I have that to rest in. But the thing that I rest in the most when I am hurt, when I'm going all the way and it seems like it didn't work, I rest in the fact that in pure awareness and in my silence and when I keep my mouth shut, I can hear new inspiration. I am aware of a voice that doesn't sound like me. It sounds like pure love and pure encouragement. It says, you can do this. Try it another way. I love you. I hear that. I love you. Try it this way. I understand you. You're not alone. That meditation, that feeling is something that I wish I could be aware of every moment of the day. But interestingly enough, it happens when I get J out of the way. When I meditate and I give up for the moment this personality, this ego, this thing that I've carried for years, and I sit in pure awareness and I say, I'm open. You know, a closed fist cannot receive a gift. Somebody who has all the answers is not open to new answers, not open to new ways. We get ourselves so full of facts and ideas in our minds, and we think it has to be one way, and we forget life is grand. This is a big world with many truths. But the one truth that I hold to more than anything is the love that God gives us, which is also represented by choice that is given us and the ability to respond that's given us, no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through. It's not always easy, but I think it's highly worth it. And when I think about sometimes the things that pass for religion today, the idea of brokenness and somebody pronouncing grace and saying you can have it if you do this our way, if you say these words, if. No, you've already got it. And my job is to remind you of it and to remind myself of it. That's what we're here to do for each other. Course in Miracles says nothing unreal exists. Nothing unreal exists. Nothing real can be threatened. Herein lies the peace of God. In that gap between what we're doing and thinking lies that peace, lies that chance to choose once again. If you're going to do something, go all the way, but I'm going to give you something that I'd like you to do regardless of what goals and what things you'd like to see manifest in your life. Go all the way with being loved by God. Allow yourself that love, that latitude that recognizes your own humanity, your own inherent folly that we all have in this thing called life. We're humans. Sometimes we grope in the darkness, and sometimes we walk in the light. Sometimes we sit down, and sometimes we chart a new course. We're all over the place. And we're especially susceptible to other folks and what they say about us and what they think we should do. It's a wonder we get a lot done. It really is. We are self-determined people, and we forget it sometimes. Now, I don't mean will-determined. I mean self. And the way that I think that works the best is to allow yourself to be open to the new inspiration that comes every moment. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. You have now. And at now, right now, you can make a new choice. You can decide in favor of yourself. And if you think that it's just me saying that, I'll go back to my boss who said, newness of life, walk in it. Who forgave anybody that came to him on the spot. Never with the idea that you have to tell me and catalog everything you've done. A woman in the Bible even touched the hem of Christ Jesus' garment and was made whole. It was her faith. It was her willingness to be healed. It was love that did that. It wasn't a stern, autocratic Jesus saying, tell me what you did and I'll forgive you. People in his presence were healed because he was love. And that's what we are. And I don't want the world to push us down so far that we forget who we are. And it can happen. Situations and circumstances occur all the time that can make us forget who we really are. We're living embodiments of love. We choose again for ourselves, and we choose to accept the forgiveness, which really forgiving, a new start. As if justification, just as if I'd never done it. Reconciliation, I was never separated in the first place. In other words, I built this whole case in my mind about a father who never blamed in the first place and who ran and who will run to love me. Think about that for just a little bit. That's really something. That's a God you can relate to. That's a God you can love. And that's a God you can walk with and trust. Love is the answer. I agree with Dr. Jerry Jampolsky to every question. Sole purpose of life being to love and be loved. I agree with that. So go all the way with that love. Take it for what it means. It without condition and without reservation. And there will be people like the son in the story that stayed home and supposedly did everything right who will resent that love being manifest in that second chance. That happens because sometimes we pull in and we judge and say it shouldn't be this way and I had to do it and why didn't he? No. Recognize that happens out there and forgive them for what they do. You see, you're forgiven as you forgive. It's not that hard. It's just that in our egos and in our personalities, we make it hard. I hope for all of you this week, you realize the precious divine miracles that you are, and that you choose in favor of yourself, and that if there's anything that's holding you back, you can release it and let it go and see it with new eyes and know that no matter what you do, you're loved. And there's nothing you can do that can ever change that. I send you all blessings for a wonderful week, and so it is.